You are listening to Destination Church Belfast weekly podcast. You can find us at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Happy listening.
So, continuing the message series, Awake and Arise and Open Our Eyes. And, you know, seeing in the natural, I am a retired optometrist, and what you probably don't realize is that you don't actually see with your eyes. You don't actually see with your eyes. You actually see with your brain. Your eyes are like the satellite dish that take the signal, and the brain is the TV that actually sees. Ultimately, our brain digitally processes, digitally enhances, and digitally edits the image that we actually see. For example, love is blind. Okay, that didn't go down as well as I thought it might go. You know, what does she see in him? Or what does he see in her? Or, you know, or they really like that? Or why do they like, you know? Because what you actually see with your eyes and what you actually interpret are two different things. And seeing clearly is actually about perception. And your glasses will focus things clearly. But did you know that you can only ever actually see a very small part of anything you're looking at any one time? You did not know that. Okay, so if you all want to look at the screen, and as you look at the screen, be aware of my face. Is my face clear? Is it hazy? Is it blurred? It's not because your glasses aren't working. It's because there's only a certain part of your brain actually sees clearly at any time. Your peripheral vision tells you where you are. So I'm going in this direction. I can't see the people over there, but I know the people are there. But because I've been and had my eyes open in this building, I have an idea what it's like. But I have no idea at this moment in time what the arches, those steel structures above our heads actually look like, because I'm looking over towards Colin Clare. I can't. So what your brain does is it takes all those bits together and puts them together to get an image, to get a perception of where things are. But if you actually stop and think about it, you can only see something really clearly, the thing that you're looking directly at in that particular moment in time. So seeing is actually about perception, and seeing can be quite complex. So we're awake, but we can't see things that are right under our nose. That probably applies more to men than it does to women. Or we're not aware that something is there, and then it's pointed out to us, and we just can't unsee it. I mean, once you see the thing, you just see it all the time, and that could be anything. Do you realize the way there's a stain over there on that part? It's not over on the wall there. And then every time you walk, there's the stain. I never saw that before. Or if you've done any decorating, and in the perfect world, I would like to do like the Airbnb decorating thing. So I go into somebody's house and decorate their house. They come into my house and decorate my house. And when I walk in, new color, it's all done. I don't look and examine and see where things are. I just accept it where it is. But when it's my room, that wee bit up in the corner, and then I just couldn't get right into it. And then I went into the corner, and I touched the white on the top. And every time, oh, there's that blooming thing. And you can't unsee it. It's similar in the spiritual. And this series is stirring us to wake up, awaken. It's stirring us to get up, arise, and it's stirring us to see, open our eyes. And it's always in the context of conviction, not condemnation. We are a Romans 8 house. We're not into condemnation or judgment. We're into the Holy Spirit coming to convict us. So there's an invitation to intentional discipleship and to get about doing something about it. There is a disproportionate response of the Spirit to our actions. and looking for his light and revelation produces more of him to us and through us. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I gave a corporate prophetic word, and I used the phrase that we had to get under the shadow of his light. And when I said, I thought, as sometimes when you're in the spirit, there's almost this out-of-body experience, you go, that is way too good for me. Under the shadow of his light. What does that actually mean? There are no shadows in Jesus. He is the way to the Father, John 14:6, and he is the light of the world. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, there's your intentional discipleship right there, will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it's heaven's testimony that there is no light in heaven other than the light that is the Father and the Son. Revelation 22:3-5 says, there shall be nothing in the city that is evil, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be written on their foreheads, and there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, I spent an entire career using light, looking at light, and this is just my sense. The light that all light causes a shadow, right? But heaven's light, I don't think there'll be any shadows. How does that work? Because if you have a bright light, you automatically have a shadow. I just have a sense that it'll just be light, and there are no switches in heaven. It's just emanating from the presence and the glory of the Father and the Son. I mean, mind blowing. How exciting. The light is him, and it's his glory, and it's his life. Psalm 36:9, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In his light, we see him. We get a revelation of him. We get that light bulb moment, that eureka moment, that aha moment. And it's the testimony of the community of Destination Disciples at DCB. So for those that are visiting, we're called Destination Church. I've said many times before, you could call all churches destination. Not that we want to take over the world, but we're heading to a destination, and that destination is the likeness of Jesus Christ. And in this house, we are calling people to get after that in an intentional disciple way. Let's be about getting after that. So we're Destination Disciples, and our journeys are marked by a pattern of experiencing his presence, seeing the light, which is his light, and testifying to what we have been saved from. And ultimately, in that, it's the reality of our salvation. But that was then, and for some of us, that then was a long, long, long time ago. But we're about today, the here and now, and the daily continual assessment of intentional discipleship. It's all about relationship, a real, authentic relationship in which we get to know him more and more. And as I've said many times before, it's not a head knowledge, it's an intimate, as it says, yada gnosko, yada in the Hebrew, gnosko in the Greek. It's an experiential knowing. You know, you're connected, you are one with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And that's inclusive of journeying with our baggage, of which we may have really quite a lot. We may have deficiencies, and we may have the clamor, the accusation of our soul, of the world, of the enemy. But we go on the journey anyway. And sometimes we are very aware of what needs to be attended to. And sometimes it has been hidden in plain sight. What we can testify is that as we go on this journey, the lights are coming on, and we can see the light, his revelation. And with our response and his grace, there is an undeniable key change, there is an undeniable releasing and revealing of his light to us and through us. Can we agree with that? Can we have an amen? Amen. And it is surely marvelous in our eyes. And our testimonies are frequently marked by a narrative that is a narrative of our souls. Now, we frequently teach about the separation of our souls and our spirits in Hebrews 4:12. Our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions, where our self actually dwells, giving us our self-consciousness. It's our soul that gives us an idea of who we are. And then we've got our spirit, which consists of conscience, intuition, and communion. And it's where God dwells. It's a connection with his spirit to our spirit and gives us our God consciousness. Our spirit is our link with and to God. And very often the perspective of our testimony is that of our soul. So although it is a positive testimony of light and life, it is peppered with the negative realities of denying self and renouncing sin. So a little bit of crowd participation. What are some of the negative adjectives that we use for our journey? Struggle. Hard. Strive. Long. Nobody using the P word? Painful. Insurmountable. Not in this house, sister. But it's a good point. Any other negative realities? Stressful. Winding. I thought you said whining there, but which probably works as well. It's so hard. Sorry, somebody said over here. Uphill. Uphill struggle. Okay. So one of the words I put down was discipline.
Discipline. Have to do it.
At DCB, I think we're pretty good at holding the tension of all that, the negative realities in humility and in transparency. Now, these negative realities, they're not bad and they're not wrong, but they are real and they're not to be ignored. But still, we want to move on, push on, but they are not to be accepted as the perception of the way things are. The Holy Spirit wants to call us. The Holy Spirit wants to compel us. The Holy Spirit wants to convict us to a new perspective today. Now, as you may or may not know, I do a bit of running in my preparation for my sprint tries. And one of the most dangerous things that I would do when I'm running, which is most likely to cause me an injury, is not overexertion, because at my age, I'm not really overexerting, and I'm being very sensible. This season's all about warming up, cooling down, and not pushing yourself too hard. So the easy is easy, and when you go hard, you go really hard. And we'll see how that works, right? But actually, the time where I think, ooh, careful, is when I'm running along the road, and I want to cross the road, and I look over my shoulder to see if there's a car coming. And at that point, something down below, in the inside of both legs goes, whoa, hold on there, cowboy. It's like, I say, whoa, and I have to watch myself, because in the natural flow, the natural momentum of going forward, Jesus is always this side, in the natural flow of going in this direction, as I turn, that's not the way the body's supposed to go. Everything is forcing its way forward. And as I turn, everything's going, and that's when the body goes, whoa, hold on there. Okay, got that image? As we move forward towards the image and likeness of the destination, Jesus Christ, the perspective of our soul is the wrong narrative for our spiritual journey. We are looking in the wrong direction. And we often say in preaching and teaching that the message is the title, and the title is the message. Today, it's even simpler than that. The word that is coming up is the message, and the message is the word. It's a message and word of inspiration. It's a word that imparts vision, faith, and encouragement. Courage in for the journey towards the destination. It's a word and a message to get up in the morning for. And it's a word and a message to lean forward expectantly into. And it's not a word of false positive reality. It's a word that acknowledges the tension and the negative realities of our soul, but it separates that soul, and it's looking backwards and the soul's looking backwards to where we've come from and the cost of the intentional discipleship and obedience. It's a word that separates our spirit to move forward in the truth and the full inheritance and possession in Jesus Christ. You ready for the word? Awaken, arise, open our eyes to more. More. Receive it in your spirit. Well, why does he keep talking about that? Switch off your brain. Why does he talk? Because your brain's really your soul. And you say, well, what's more going to be? What's it going to look like? Just receive. It's about more. It's about the spiritual reality of more. It's not insurmountable. It's more. It's more. It's a word that is transcendent. It's over and beyond us. It can be overwhelming. It can be all-consuming. It is more. It is a word of key change. It is a word that is light-bringing. It's stunning in its simplicity, and it is transformation in its profundity. It is more. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. I want to highlight two words from that verse: more, immeasurably more, or if you collate different translations, exceedingly, immeasurably, super abundantly more. In the Greek, the word is actually the word hyper, which we use quite a lot, which is over, beyond, more than, more. And the word power, that's the Greek root word for where we get the word dynamite. Definition: strength, power, ability, inherent power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. This inherent power is at work in us. More. More. We possess Christ's power for more. He is in us. We have more. The more is Jesus, his person, his presence, his more. David got it, Psalm 36, 9. In your light we see light. Peter got it. In Matthew 16, he said, you're the Messiah. When Jesus asked, who do they say that I am? And they gave different answers, Jeremiah, Elijah, the prophets. And then he said, yeah, but who do you say that I am? Which is the question that we use in youth. Who is Jesus and who do you say that I am? And Peter made the testimony, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That was a light bulb moment. That was a spirit moment. And Jesus said, there's no way you worked that out in your head. That was given to you by heaven. And on that revelation, I will build my church. Peter got it. Paul got it. Ephesians 5:14, wake up, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you, to you and through you. So how do we get the more of Jesus, his presence, his light? We lean forward expectantly into his light. We do not settle for less than our full inheritance and possession in him. And these are both manifestations of us turning up for him to turn on. We move forwards towards him in faith, obedience, and integrity, and he comes with his disproportionate more. His light, his self in power. So let's awake. Let's arise. Let's open our eyes to his more right here and right now. For too long, we have all settled for less. Holy Spirit, come. Let's release. Let's reveal the less, and let's release the more right here and right now. Let him come. Now, for some of you, there's too much more of you. You've kind of given up and surrendered, but there's still a few bits there. There's still a bit like tucked in behind, round the back, in under the stage there. That's my wee bit. Yes, I surrender all. There's not that wee bit there. And it's not, and I also appreciate we're on a journey, and many times in the past we have surrendered all, but we're now a new day, a new time, and a new reality. And that reality is, well, the Spirit's saying to you this morning, there is more. You know what it is. You're experiencing conviction to that. That's being revealed right here and right now. Let's release that to him and receive his more as we become less. There's some of us here or the other way around. We're too less. Our opinion of ourselves, our belief in who we're called to be under Christ is way less than we have as an inheritance, as we have as a heritage, as we have as a spiritual reality, but we're living in the scraps of that reality. That's been revealed to you today, right here, right now. And you're listening on the podcast and your name is on this message. There's too much less. We need to give up our negative attitude to ourselves and receive the fact that we are a son and a daughter of the King. He sent his son that we might be free from the accusation of the enemy that we're not going to amount to a hill of beans. We tried it and it never worked out. We tried it and the door was slammed in our face. So what's the point? What's the point? Let's settle. Let's just settle for the way it is. I say to you in Jesus' name, there is more. There is more. Let vision and faith come. There is more. What does that look like? Who cares? If it's him and he is the light, and we're only practicing now for when we get to heaven, and there are no switches in heaven, there's just light, there are no shadows, there's just light, there's just him, and he is all consuming. He is the transcendent cause. He is the answer. Who cares what it looks like? Do you want some more of God? Absolutely. What's it going to cost me? That's the soul yapping. That's how you pull something. We're not going to do that. We're going to head towards the destination. And he's saying, come, come, and let me give you my more by you becoming less, or if you have a less of an opinion of who you are in me, getting that sorted out and getting more and coming to the fullness of the possession of the inheritance of the blood that I shed on the cross and defeated death and the enemy to be alive right here and right now. Could I have the worship collective up, please? Please stand with me. Some questions for your response. So we always want to serve what we've been teaching or preaching about on Sunday morning. We want to respond to what the Holy Spirit is offering to us. So some questions for your response. Do you want a key change from a soul perspective to a spirit perspective? Have you had enough? Done with settling for less? Do you want a renewed appetite and vision for more? If you can answer yes to any of those questions, really invite you to come to the front. We're going to worship, and then we're going to minister to you, and his more is going to come. Please come forward.
You have been listening to Destination Church Belfast Weekly Podcast. Remember to check us out at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk and have a great week.